Good Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like the sands through Carpenter's Creek, so are the days of our Pensacola. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
I've not been asked what my opinion is about how we should spend the ARPA money. You know, I wasn't here when that happened. I guess there were a couple times the council voted in 2021 about how that money would be spent. I don't get a lot of chances to talk to our mayor. My last meeting was about 10 minutes long. It was right up against an agenda conference, so I didn't really have a chance to talk about ARPA. When I served under Mayor Hayward, I met with him one time, and under Mayor Reeves, I thought it would be different. I thought I'd have regular meetings. We started out that way, and it's changed since then. Now it's very rare that we get to meet. We were told that we could then meet, or at least I was told I could meet with Alex, and then I had one meeting where I met with Alex and I met with the mayor. Now the meetings are just few and far between.
So, City Council Member Charles Baer is frustrated. Doesn't feel like he has enough face time with the mayor or with Alex Smith, his chief of staff. Doesn't feel like he knows what's going on. He thought things were going to be different. He had a bad experience with Mayor Ashton Hayward, and he thought it was going to be better with the D.C. Reeves, and now he apparently feels like it's just the same thing, you know, third verse, same as the first. I have some thoughts about all this. One is a question of how you solve problems. Because, look, I'm sympathetic. You know, if you're trying to meet with the mayor and the mayor's not meeting with you, that's frustrating. I wonder, though, if there's not a better way to approach it. And what I mean by that is, the Bible talks about, you know, if you have a problem with somebody, go to them, you know, and then if they're not responsive, you know, then you bring it to a couple, you bring a couple people with you. And then if that's not working, then you bring it before the whole church. And now I know that's in a church setting, not in a government setting, but the principle's the same, which is that if you can resolve these things at the lowest level of embarrassment or publicity, the better. And so going in front of the, you know, whole city council and the public and Andrew McKay and God and everybody and talking about how the mayor done you wrong and it won't meet with you and sort of whining about it, I don't know that that's the best solution. And look, you know, Charles's heart is in the right place. I know he wants to do good. You know, he's a good man. Okay, he's a man of principle. I just don't think that this is the most effective way to share this grievance. Now, maybe he has really tried. But has he, you know, said, Mr. Mayor, look, I will meet with you anywhere you want. Just, can we schedule a regular? Can we do a Tuesday morning at 9? You know, can we do a, or can we do a the second Tuesday of the month at 9? I just want to meet with you routinely and know what's going on. Because it got worse before it got better in his comments, by the way.
I don't really get an opportunity to share what I think ARPA money should be spent on, or any money for that matter. And most of what I learn is from press conferences. That's why I asked Don if he could do a summary of what happens in the press conferences so I'd know what we were going to see in the next agenda. We're not invited to the press conferences, just so you know. So a lot of the things that we find out is through that. If not, it's on the agenda.
Aww. Come on, somebody send him an invite to the press conference. Maybe he's not going to talk, but at least he can be there to watch. Now, he can watch online. I watch online. I don't go to the press conferences either. And I guess I'm welcome, so it's easy enough for me to say. But you know, does he not feel invited? I understand how it could be annoying, though. Like, if you're a city council member and you find out what's going on in the city by watching the press conferences. But then again, look on the bright side. At least there's press conferences. You know? I mean, there was a time when that didn't happen. And then, of course, Grover was dedicated to that. And of course, Mayor D.C. Reeves has been dedicated to that. And of course, he goes on the radio a lot. D.C. does, and Grover did. So there's lots of opportunity to hear what's going on in the city, but maybe just not that, you know, personal interaction kind of time. By the way, the idea of Don Crayer, the city council executive, doing a summary is smart. I mean, Frank, that's just smart PR, internal communications. That makes sense. So I don't know who this makes look bad. You know, does this make Charles look bad for whining about it? Does it make D.C. look bad for failure to meet. Does he meet with other people? You know, is there equal access? I don't know. I'll ask the mayor about it. But I don't know. I feel like the mayor would meet with you. It just feels like, you know, access to the mayor is available. Maybe, you know, especially now that Tim Kinsella is, you know, we've got a full-time devoted city attorney, or city administrator working on the job. So anyway, the real subject of the controversy or the discussion was over ARPA funds. And we'll come back to that in just a second. ARPA funds, American Rescue Plan funds, that's, you know, COVID money, okay? And everybody's scrambling to spend their COVID money before the end of the year and we lose it. Or scrambling to commit it. Encumbered is the word they use. But, you know, to commit it to something before we lose it and have to give it back to the Fed and say, thanks, but no thanks. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. We're dealing with one accident right now, Navarre Parkway and State Road 87. The roadway is clear, but it's through that construction zone. So definitely it's starting to back things up just a little bit. But other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Somebody is saying, I screwed up the biblical reference because if someone is caught in sin, you go to them. Yeah, no, I of course. But the principle is resolve these things as privately as possible. But you're right. I didn't quote it accurately. I wasn't really trying to. But okay, fair enough. I appreciate that. 7:15 on News Radio 90. You really screwed up that quote. Okay. Okay, I got you. Anyway, back to the city council meeting in Charles Bear, which, by the way, let me say this. I think maybe I didn't need correcting on that one, but I don't mind you correcting me. I actually like that. And if I didn't know the Bible verse, then I would appreciate that because I do. I genuinely appreciate it when you guys give me input and correction and think I've done something wrong. I would rather have five people tell me I did it wrong than nobody bother. You know what I mean? Because how do you learn from that? Like, you don't learn from that. Anyway, back to the conversation with Charles Bear and the ARPA funds. The reason this came up is because they were reallocating money towards Martin Luther King and Davis two-waying instead of the one-way that it is right now, and City Hall security upgrades. And basically, Charles Bear's complaint about these things was that Martin Luther King, that's not important enough in the grand scheme of traffic problems in the city of Pensacola, and the fact that FDOT is resurfacing and we're trying to, like, co-join with them on the timing and get grant funding in order to be able to do the two-laning at the same time or the two-waying at the same time as they do resurfacing, we shouldn't let that be the determinant of everything. Also, on City Hall security, why are we spending money on us when really this money should be going to help, like, direct COVID things like homelessness? And I sympathize with that. I really do. I'm always a little bit caught off guard by some of the applications of the ARPA funding that don't really seem to have anything to do with COVID. You know, and though I have criticized some of the programs related to broadband, at least broadband is like right in the heart of what that money was for because it was dealing with people having to isolate at home or who tested positive or who came in close contact or kids who are not able to go to school or remote work. Like, those are really COVID-related things and making sure that our society is more resilient to a pandemic. That actually makes a lot of sense to me. City Hall security, how is that COVID money? It's not clear to me. You know, two-laning a road for ARPA money? It might be allowed. I'm not saying it's disallowed. I know they're following the rules, but sort of the gist of it, you know, what's the real purpose of it doesn't quite seem to fit. So he says we should focus on things like the more important traffic things. We should focus on things like homelessness. And Jen Brayer raised a similar question, at least about the expense involved. She acknowledged and she thought knows that it's important to two-way Martin Luther King and Davis. This is something they've been trying to do since Grover Robinson was the mayor, and it just never happened. Turns out it's a lot harder to two-way a one-way road than anything else because, you know, now, like, we don't really need those to be one-way the way we used to. And now that I-110 has been here for all these years, that's really kind of an outdated solution to an old traffic problem. And it makes more sense to slow traffic down, go two directions. It's a residential area, all of that stuff, right?
First off, I've been on the Eastside Redevelopment Committee for 2 years, and I know that this is a top priority to get this two-wayed. However, we just went through this process for the redesign of Hollis T. Williams, and those engineers said this is going to be a ridiculously expensive interchange when you get to the north end of Davis. So when they were redesigning, they said that we can theoretically look at it, but that it's a very heavy lift. The way you've got the two roads coming into each other and you have to crossing it over of different traffic going one way and the other way. And so they're very concerned. They were concerned at those meetings that this would be well into the future.
Yeah, big price tag, especially if you do a roundabout or whatever you do at that weird little fork south of Fairfield where Davis turns into Davis and MLK. Like, that's going to be a challenge to solve that, and that's been a known challenge for a while. Now, Amy Tootle, the Public Works Director, says, look, this is actually really important. This puts us in line to get grant funding. Like, if we do this little bit of commitment, then we can be in line to get grant funding so that in a couple of years, when FDOT does the resurfacing, we can do all at one time instead of, you know, the old problem of like ECUA digs up the road and puts in pipes, and then Florida Power and Light digs up the road and puts in power, sewers, and then FPL does it and puts in electricity, and then FDOT resurfaces, and then lo and behold, the city comes along and says, we should probably two-lane this, like the fourth rebuild of the same road. And I'm not saying that's actually what happened, but, you know, that kind of perception. And it certainly is a cost and inefficiency problem. Meanwhile, you have comments from, Casey Jones, city council president, who says, no, this is actually very important to safety, the MLK and Davis Highway stuff.
Specifically, the redesign of Davis Highway and Martin Luther King Jr. Drive. I think these are important projects that, like Council Vice President said, have been on the TPO list for a long time, and people have been behind them. And the reason people are behind them is because these are streets that cut right through neighborhoods. They're neighborhoods where people's houses are right on these streets. These streets that are designed right now for traffic to flow at 50 miles per hour, they're wide open. And that's, people are going to drive the speed that they're comfortable driving at without looking at speed limit signs most of the time. So
yeah, that's exactly right. And so, you know, getting it changed so that people feel more comfortable driving at 35 and making it two lanes is going to work, or two directions is going to work towards that. Last thing on this subject is you might have seen Channel 3 was doing really good coverage of this last week on the upgrades to security at City Hall. And, you know, again, I know Charles Baer was concerned that like the old way of doing things, and why are we spending money on security at City Hall when we don't even have our homeless with a place to live? And all fair. I mean, fair questions. OK, you know, why are we demolishing Baptist Hospital when we can't spend any money, spending $16 million or, you know, our 9 plus 7 or whatever, however the share works out, on Baptist Hospital when we're not, you know, spending $3 million on a homeless shelter? That was kind of a complaint that was raised at the meeting as well. You know, priorities and where we have money, where we don't have money. Okay, all fair questions. Okay, that's what budgets are all about, is where you put your priorities. But as far as the security upgrades, Tim Kinsella, the former CEO of the base and, you know, now the city administrator, he said, no, I was the one who put that recommendation on there because...
I actually added this when I was doing the transition committee report. This was something that I brought to the mayor's attention, securing the building. And it was in direct relation to my experiences on the base. And in the after-action report from that event on the base, everything that was a contributing factor to that event is a glaring issue in our building.
Yeah. So the guy who does know a thing or two about when security measures produce a bad thing, right? When we have people killed and injured on a base because somebody decides to go shoot it up. And they've made lots of changes on NES Pensacola at NetSafa, the educational entity that deals with the foreign students, but all across the base. And, you know, learning lessons, right? And then he says, hey, all these same lessons apply here to City Hall. And we want a security facility. We want a secure facility to protect people who work here. And, you know, that's an important thing, just like they have at the BCC, Board of County Commission building. And not that they're necessarily always right, but, you know, the idea that this should be better. Anyway, so that passed 6-1, Charles Baer voting against it. And we'll talk a little bit about that more tomorrow with the mayor, especially in terms of timeline. 7:23 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hey, Northwest Florida, Dave Ramsey here. I want to tell you about my friends over at Gulf Coast Air Care. Owner Todd St. Orrs and his team focus on the indoor air quality side of HVAC for the people who want comfortable, healthy, and energy-efficient homes and workplaces. Gulf Coast Air Care can help you with dusty, moldy, or leaky duct systems, hot or cold rooms, and odors and humidity issues. So, if you need duct cleaning, duct repairs, or air filtration, you should call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768. They've been trusted members of the community for over 30 years. And remember what Todd always says, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768 or visit them online at gulfcoastaircare.com. And be sure and tell them that Dave Ramsey sent you.
Florida's First is home to thousands of veterans and active duty military. So why don't we have a VA surgical center here? It's unacceptable. I'm Gay Valamont, and while Matt Gaetz talks a big game about supporting the military, he's lost two squadrons and failed to secure the care our veterans need. Our service members deserve action. I'll fight to secure funding and ensure they have access to the benefits they've earned. On November the 5th, vote for me, Gay Valamont, and let's get our veterans the care they deserve.
Paid for by Gay Valamont for Congress.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
As Christians, we make much of Jesus' efficacious death through crucifixion, and we make much of his resurrection from the grave, and we should. However, a major moment in the life of Christ that's often overlooked is his ascension. After all, Christ's ascension is his coronation, his exaltation, his enthronement. It signifies mission accomplished and job well done. At his ascension, Jesus is once again seated at the right hand of God the Father, and his enemies become his footstool. On the day that Jesus ascended, two promises were made. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would come, and indeed he did, powerfully, in Acts chapter 2. Secondly, one of the angels promised that Jesus would return in the same way that he was received up into heaven. The ascension is important because it is a reminder that Jesus is coming again, and as Christians, we say with John the Revelator, "Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly."
For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hi everybody, this is Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson. Santa Rosa County is one of the fastest growing counties in the nation, and it's not slowing down. Our parks, roads, bridges, and other community amenities have to keep up. I'm urging you to vote yes for the penny sales tax to replace the current half-cent tax. This will fund essential community improvements, enhance our quality of life, better protect our families, and improve public works. Go to SantaRosaYes.com for more information. Paid for by Santa Rosa's Tomorrow Today.
Carissa Burgosh is running for school board to make sure our children aren't harassed or bullied. A lifelong educator, Carissa knows the number one issue affecting education is a lack of discipline. When the Florida governor appointed Carissa to the school board during an emergency vacancy years ago, she ensured that bullying and fighting were not tolerated, and our schools were much better then. Choose proven leadership. She's from here and will remain here.
I'm Carissa Burgosh, running for school board, District 4, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Carissa Burgosh.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Alive! It's alive! It's alive!
You have to, right? 727 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you haven't noticed, the slight mood shift in the clips is we're all Halloween now for the next couple of days. So we're all into the Halloween movies, which, by the way, I think it's a very interesting conversation. I don't know if it's – I couldn't figure out how to make this a frivolous topic exactly. Maybe I'll figure it out. But as I've been thinking about which clips to play around Halloween, I've been thinking about what is and what is not a Halloween movie. You know, every year at Christmas, people have this conversation about whether Die Hard is or is not a Christmas movie. It is. But at Halloween, you know, what movies are or are not Halloween movies? Because I think there's a bunch of sort of maybes, you know. Like, for example, is Men in Black a Halloween movie?
No.
Okay. Because? It's scary aliens and weird people in costumes.
Right, but...
Lots of costumes. Okay, how about this? Is Alien a Halloween movie?
Yes.
Okay, why?
Because the little thing comes out of your stomach and it's like, ugh!
How about Aliens?
Oh.
Yeah. It's more of an action movie, right?
You already know the answer to all these.
I don't know. I ask, like, okay, is 2001 A Space Odyssey, is that a Halloween movie?
No.
Why?
Because it was supposed to be 2001 and there's...
But it is terrifying.
It is terrifying.
Is not a scary movie also a Halloween movie? I mean, Hal's the monster, right?
Right.
And the scariest monster because he doesn't sound like a monster. Jaws? Is Jaws a Halloween movie?
See, I want to say no.
Oh, okay. So I think a lot of people think of Jaws as a Halloween movie.
Really?
So, yeah, all right. That's where my head's at. Just kind of thinking about these things.
We're going to have it examined.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Former Trump advisor Steve Bannon has been released from a Connecticut prison just a week before the presidential election. Bannon walked out of the federal lockup in Danbury, Connecticut, just before dawn this morning. He served 120 days for contempt of Congress. The Israeli parliament is banning the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestine refugees in the Near East, known as UNRWA, with a new law that was passed on Monday. Approval of the bill by the Israeli parliament follows allegations that some of UNRWA's staff members participated in the October 7th attacks last year. And early voting underway in most states now. So far, about 42 million people across the country have already cast a ballot. Officials have said there's been a record-breaking early voting turnout in several of the swing states, including Georgia and North Carolina.
Very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. Coming up next, we'll be talking to Sheriff Chip Simmons, who will be here in studio with us. Also, Phil the Mayflower is coming up with Coastal Moving and Storage, WAR Channel 3, and us on Friday, November 22nd with Man of Food Pantries out at Cordova Mall. So canned items and always peanut butter is good.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. A week to Election Day, 20,000 people are expected at a campaign rally for Vice President Harris in Washington, D.C.
We understand the opportunity that we have before us to turn the page on the fear and divisiveness that have characterized our politics for a decade because of Donald Trump.
Harris in Ann Arbor, Michigan, former President Trump in Atlanta.
This will be America's new golden age. We're going to have a golden age, and hard to believe after the 4 years, almost 4 years of what we've gone through. It's hard to believe I could even say that.
He's in Pennsylvania today. The LA Dodgers could win the World Series tonight.
The Dodgers lead the Fall Classic 3-0 after knocking off the New York Yankees 4-2. Freddie Freeman tied George Springer's World Series record with homers in 5 consecutive series games.
Fox's Bob Mortally. Freeman's streak started in 2021 when he was with the Braves. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is a beautiful morning right now, 64 degrees and partly cloudy skies in Pensacola. A Mississippi man has died after a semi-truck rear-ended his pickup on I-10 in Walton County. The Florida Highway Patrol says the tractor-trailer was going faster than the pickup truck, hit it from behind around mile marker 72 westbound there in Walton County. The truck then ran off the road and hit some trees. The pickup driver was pronounced dead at the scene of that crash. A Gulf Shores man is charged with attempted murder. This is after a shooting on River Annex Road Monday morning. Deputies say 43-year-old Grant Bieber shot into a home with a victim inside. There was nobody hurt during the incident. Bieber is currently being held in the Escambia County Jail with no bond. Yesterday, we told you about a horrific crash in Okaloosa County that happened over the weekend involving several high school students. The Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office says it's a miracle that those teens all survived.
I've never seen carnage like that where people walked away or even escaped with their lives in a crash like this before. It's pretty brutal.
That is Okaloosa County Sheriff Eric Aiden. He tells Channel 3 the car the teens were in was speeding when the crash happened. They hit another vehicle and a utility pole, effectively splitting the car in half. Then it caught on fire. Aiden says he's never seen carnage like that where the victims survived the crash. The driver of the other vehicle also survived. Well, the NAS Pensacola Homecoming Air Show starts on Friday. Captain Terry Shashati stopped by News Radio 92.3 yesterday to talk about the event. He says they're expecting a big crowd for the shows, and they're doing something different at the gates.
And both gates are going to be drive-through, right?
Correct. They're going to be drive-through.
So no IDs, no checking, no stopping.
Thanks for saying that. You will need a photo ID if you're 18 years or older to get through the screening process. Not through the gate, but when you go through the screening process, you will need to show a photo identification if you're 18 or over.
And that air show happens Friday and Saturday. Gates opening at 8 a.m. both days. The installation also will be closed to visitors on Thursday. They're doing a practice air show, and area STEM students will be there to enjoy that, but it'll be closed to the public. Forecasters tracking what could be the next tropical depression or storm.
The National Hurricane Center in Miami says the system could develop from a broad area of low pressure that's likely to form over the Caribbean in a few days. It's being given a 40% chance of developing late this week or this weekend. While the system poses no threat to the continental U.S. within the next week, forecasters say interests in the Caribbean Sea should monitor its progress. I'm Brian Shook.
Thank you very much, Brian. It is 7:34, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Still dealing with that hit-and-run crash that happened on Navarre Parkway in 87. Just know that that's off to the side of the road, but that's in that construction area causing some delays. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather.
Plenty of sunshine today with a high near 80 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 66 degrees. For Wednesday, sunny skies, high near 81. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 68. Halloween forecast, sunny skies, high near 80 degrees and a low near 69 degrees. Stay connected at Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEART weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
64 in Pensacola, 65. And Gulf Breeze 63 in Milton. Our next news at 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The Washington Post reportedly has lost more than 200,000 digital subscriptions after the newspaper said it would not endorse either Kamala Harris or Donald Trump in the presidential election. Three members of the Post's 9-member editorial board also stepped down on the heels of that decision. Microsoft said Google is running shadow campaigns to discredit the software giant with regulators in Europe. Google previously said it would file an antitrust complaint against Microsoft with the EU's executive body over Microsoft's software licensing tactics. Honda is recalling more than 720,000 vehicles for a risk that a high-pressure fuel pump may crack and leak fuel, increasing the risk of a fire. Dealers will replace the high-pressure fuel pump as necessary. Futures are slightly lower. Monday, the Dow Industrials gained 273, the NASDAQ up 48, the S&P 500 up 15. That's Your Money Now.
If you're struggling with ED or your performance is down and your belly fat is growing, listen up. You've got one life. Now is the time to act.
At Wave Men's Health, we're not just healthcare. We're your secret weapon. Don't wait another day. Here's why you need to act right now.
Every moment you delay, your condition could worsen. It's not just about sex. It's about your heart, your relationship, your life.
Wave Men's Health has years of proven results for low testosterone and increasing drive, energy level, and performance. We've introduced ED and enhancement treatments so exclusive, you'll wonder why you waited.
Procrastination is the thief of time. When it comes to your sexual health, you can't afford to wait. Join the league of gentlemen who've walked out of our doors with a swagger.
Call Wave Men's Health at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Book your $99 male performance consultation now, including blood work. Call 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
This is Rich Holsnick, candidate for Escambia County School Board District 4. I'm running for our children, to protect their innocence, and to get back to educational basics without indoctrination. I'm a Naval Academy grad, 28-year Navy pilot, and former Desert Storm Task Group commander. I'm also proudly endorsed by former Superintendent Malcolm Thomas. Children are our hope and future. I will defend them as I did our nation. Vote Rich for School Board District 4.
Paid for by Rich Holsnick, candidate for Escambia County School Board District 4.
That's my timer letting me know that it's time to check the Slow Smoke Barbecue at Sonny's. It's also a reminder that it's time to book your holiday party or catering. We love to serve your business or organization a delicious prime rib to celebrate all your hard work with catering from our 4 locations serving the greater Pensacola area. We also have banquet rooms at our Navy Boulevard and 9th Avenue locations. And speaking of the holidays, give the gift of barbecue and a convenience of a gift card. Sweet and smoky ribs sure do make a mess of those Christmas stockings. Go to sonnysbarbecue.com to find your nearest location and all the details on our holiday catering services.
Hi, I am Jennifer Brer, your councilwoman for the City of Pensacola, District 1. It has been my honor to uphold my campaign promise to listen, respond, and represent our concerns at City Hall. I am a fierce advocate for our community and being fiscally responsible with taxpayer money, and it is always taxpayer money. Please re-elect me on November 5th and let your voice continue to be heard. Paid for by re-elect Jennifer Brer, City of Pensacola, District 1.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay.
Mayor D.C. Reeves, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Andrew, glad to be here.
Andrew McKay, mornings at 5.
It's time to talk with our good friend Mike Woodley, Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
I'm glad I don't have to say that real fast every day. Good morning.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 before pep talk.
Julio Diaz always gets us up to speed on the movies that are coming out. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
I know that Andy Hobbs at the Sheriff's Office is working diligently to hunt down the owners of these homes. Like you mentioned, there's a house in North Point, and they're having the same problem. The mom's in a retirement community somewhere in South Florida. The son's here, and it's pretty much a crack house. So they are working to find her, locate her, and get her buy-in so that they can do what they need to clean up that house. So Andy has a great group of people that work with him in neighborhood services. It does take time to hunt those people down and show them why it's a problem for the community here, but he is working diligently to make that happen.
I had this clip from the debate between Ashley Hoffberger and Ron Helms, and I had wanted to play it for you, Sheriff, because I thought it was an interesting observation about you have a trouble home, okay, you have a difficult home that you're dealing with, and then the additional difficulties of how do you take action when that's the case? Sheriff Simmons, by the way, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good
how
to
you
have
doing?
You. So Andy Hobbs, of course, we're big fans. Andy Hobbs hunting this down and the whole team. This seems like a very labor-intensive challenge when you're trying to figure out who's really the decision maker for a home that is having whether code enforcement or law enforcement or drug house kind of problems, right?
That's correct. Yeah, as many people know, Chief Hobbs is over. I placed him over our community services division. He and the group, including Ryan Rivera, they do a lot of follow-up on these houses, these locations, really, when we get a complaint about it. A lot of times it is rooted in a code enforcement type of a violation. Sometimes they claim that there are drugs going on, drug deals going on. So we decide we determine, really, whenever we get the information, who needs to look into it. We have Ronnie and them do a lot of background on it, who owns the property, so we can make contact with them typically. And then we also have, and sometimes we give them a letter saying, hey, you're becoming a nuisance homeowner. You need to stop this. And then there's a long, long list of things we have to go from there. But at least we're letting the homeowner know that we're hip to what's going on at their location. So the second thing is we let them know that we're going to be investigating it more, and if we need to get our narcotics people involved to potentially do a search warrant and that sort of thing, we'll do that. That's what Ashley was talking about. Is it's a big ordeal for us. And there's really limited things that we can do unless we see something or we can get a search warrant for the property.
Yeah, and just because of the legalities of ownership and authority and where people live and whether it's renters or family or any of the other kind, how do you actually deal with that? And it's not quite as simple as somebody's doing bad stuff, let's kick them out.
Yeah, and this is someone's private property.
Right,
And I'm a firm believer in someone's private property. You can pretty much do what you want to in your home as long as you don't, abusing someone else. So, but you also, I also believe that neighborhoods can be can suffer from the actions of one particular neighbor.
Absolutely.
And that's why we put this drug house is torn down, and is closed and that sort of thing, because we do understand that there are homes that people kind of, to me, forfeit their right to just do what they want to because they tear up the neighborhood and they commit crimes.
Or they earn a parking party from the sheriff's van.
Or the sheriff's van, yeah.
It says we're watching you all the time.
I was talking about the sheriff's van a couple days ago. People love those things.
Kind of a couple of things that have happened, including one just overnight, I think. You had what is a disturbance involving some homeless folks. Is that right? What happened here?
Yeah, we got a call just a couple hours ago, really. L Street and Herman Street. The call was about a shots fired disturbance. We get there and we're flagged down by what is termed as multiple homeless individuals who were pointing at a guy that they said he had fired a gun at them. We had two victims, at least two victims. We were able to find the suspect, ended up arresting him after we determined that he did indeed fire a shot. He apparently was extremely intoxicated and had to be taken to the hospital for evaluation before he was taken to the jail. So I guess if you fire a gun and you're intoxicated, hopefully you don't miss it. You don't hit anybody.
You don't want anybody firing a gun. You don't want anybody drunk and firing a gun. In fact, I think possession while you're drunk is actually prohibited. The concealed carry statute, you can't be in possession while drunk. You can't go to a bar with a concealed, but you can't be drunk and have a gun either, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, people don't know that. They don't think about it, but that is actually in the law.
Well, you shouldn't have to think about it, right? If you got a gun, you should be.
You know, don't get behind the wheel and don't get behind the trigger. I mean, these are fairly simple things. You also had a kind of an odd case of somebody shooting into a house over by River Annex Road. Is that right?
Yeah, River Annex Road. A day or so ago, we had a shots fired disturbance. When we get there, so the story goes this way: there's a lady that's in a disturbance with a man that's in his own home. She's trying to get in because they've had a previous relationship. She's trying to get back into the home.
Got it.
He doesn't want her back in the home. She calls another friend, this guy named Grant Bieber. He gets up there, and he becomes involved in this disturbance now. And at one point, he's at the side door, and he's kicking the side door and ultimately shoots a rifle into the— I think a .22 caliber rifle.
Okay.
Into the door, and the round goes through the door and into the cabinet in the kitchen.
As they do.
And as the victim's sitting in that same area because they're arguing, you're not coming in. Yes, I am. You're not coming in. And then he goes to the front of the house and shoots two more rounds into the house. We end up charging him with attempted murder because if I'm in a house and you're shooting at me and through my house, you're trying to kill me and you're going to get shot back.
I mean, randomly shooting at a house that you don't know who's inside, maybe that's an aggravated assault or a deadly missile or something.
Yeah, if you're inside a house.
But if you know there's a person and you're shooting in the house, I mean, you're clearly trying to kill them.
Yeah, the victim.
Or you, I mean, that's what you're doing.
That's correct. Yeah, there's no other way around it. And the victim, their claim is that whenever the round was fired into it, the pieces of the door frame, you know, was amongst them, and so was the debris and the dust and that sort of thing. I certainly believe that if that happens, you think someone's trying to kill you.
Yeah, most definitely. Wow, that's scary stuff. Hang on for just a second. We're talking to Scambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. I want to go one story back when we were talking about the guy who's sleeping on the sidewalk. Uh-huh. Under the state ban that went into effect October 1st, and I know we've talked a lot about this, but still, it's not yet a crime in Escambia County. They're going to pass it. They haven't passed it yet. The city has passed, but of course you're a county cop. The city has passed their public places one. How has this enforcement been going? Have you been getting calls? Are you having to move people? Just has it been anything? Because I know when we first talked, it seemed like really nothing, and we're almost a month in now.
Well, if you recall, there's a couple things here. There's the state statute that doesn't mention law enforcement, and there's all the words of the state statute. Law enforcement is not mentioned in there. So there's that, which means that the county has whatever obligations are in the state statute. I'll let them decide which ones they're going to abide by, or they're going to address. And then there's the city of Pensacola is dealing with, as I understand it, a public and a private statute. Or ordinance. And we at the county, I've been in contact with some of the commissioners, and there's some support that for consistency amongst these ordinances with the city and the county, which I think is a good idea. I think whatever, if you can, whatever we can do to be consistent with our enforcement is a good
step. It's better
forward.
For the citizens for if the law doesn't change when you cross some invisible line. Yeah.
Yeah. So go across the street and it's different over there. Yep. Because no one really knows exactly where the border is.
Yeah.
You know, so
what's the law? What color is a trash can? Okay,
yeah,
cool.
It just depends. You know, and then even our dispatchers have to talk about different things because what side of the intersection was the crash on and all that
right.
nonsense. But right now, as I understand it, the county is looking at potentially similar, maybe not exactly, but similar ordinances to what the city is has looked at. And as I understand, they passed a public one, but not yet the private one.
The city actually dropped the public one or the private one. They dropped the private one. But they did pass the public one.
Yeah, and I can see some value in both of those. Obviously, the public one is consistent with the state statute, which again, it makes it against the county ordinance to do what's already in the state statute, which allows also the law enforcement to say, hey, you can't be here, mm-hmm. you know, so we can work together is my point. And we're certainly willing and ready to do that with our county.
It sounds like you haven't had much cause for action on this. It hasn't been a lot of calls because that seemed like where we were maybe a week or two ago.
Yeah, I don't recall. I don't know that we've had any more calls about, now that the law has changed, let's go ahead and do this. Because I think people understand that it'll be until January
when things are really kicking in. Right.
And they also, I'm hoping that people will pay attention and understand that the county commission is looking into this. They're not, you know, just looking the other way. They're doing something.
Right.
And again, that's not for me to determine. That's up to the Board of County Commissioners to determine what avenue they want to go. I have had some conversations and some communications with our Board of County Commissioners, and I have asked them to be consistent, if they can be, with the city. I haven't really discussed whether we should do a private one, but we are discussing potentials to having a private property ordinance as well. Because as we talked about earlier, if they say there's abandoned Hardee's right across the street from the sheriff's office,
right,
and that means that people can just stay there, and you know we have a hard time finding out who owns the place, getting someone to come and say you have to go and the trespassing. I do think that there's some room for a private ordinance as well.
I just didn't like the shape of the Pensacola City one, but certainly there's a concern there. There's balancing interest there, obviously.
Yeah.
You got a visit from the governor. He just showed up at your door on a Friday morning. Want to talk about Amendment 3?
Almost. I was sitting at home on a Thursday night and got a call from the governor's people. Said, "Hey, so what are you doing tomorrow morning? What do you need?"
Sounds like they asked you on a date.
Yeah, well,
they did at your house, right?
And can we come to your house? Hey, let's have a party.
Can you host us at your house for a thing? Yeah, tomorrow morning.
No, the governor's team called up, and this is not the first time. This is like the third time they've come specifically to the sheriff's office. He's obviously come to several other places in town. But on Thursday night, people asked me, "Hey, how'd that happen? You kind of kept it a secret." We weren't keeping secrets. So I got a call on Thursday night and say, "Can we be there till next morning?" And so I made some phone calls and made sure that our room was available. And we made our room available, quite frankly. And then the governor's staff came up there, and they were very nice about it because they asked if I was supporting or against amendment, right?
It'd be awkward to show up for a press conference against Amendment 3, and you're I'm kind of for it,
No, but we're obviously in line. The Florida Sheriff's Association has, they have made their position known that they're against Amendment 3, and I'm against Amendment 3. I made some examples of some middle school. I think at one point we had 14 middle school students.
Shared that audio yesterday, yeah.
They had an adverse reaction, and that's with it illegal. That's with gummies when it's not legal here. And I can only imagine what would happen if it's legal here, if that's and that's one of the main reasons that I'm against it. And then the potency of the marijuana is different than what it used to be.
And that's been kind of my take, is aside from everything else, I just don't want my kids growing up in a more marijuana, marijuana-opolis or whatever we'd have. So anyway, I did want to ask you, though, first of all, you have a movie night Friday, right?
I have movie night Friday at the November Equestrian 1st. Center, okay, right at the there Center. Up in Beulah. I'll be honest, I think we're watching Mario Brothers or one of those movies.
Not a Halloween movie?
Well, it's after Halloween, so you're free to show whatever you want.
Could be a Christmas movie.
Yeah, well, it could be a Thanksgiving movie.
Yeah, could be. Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, great. All right.
I'll see you there.
But on that note, every year for Halloween, we just want to make sure people are thinking safety.
Right.
From the sheriff's office point of view, from the sheriff's point of view, things you want to tell parents, things you want to remind people about, drivers, please slow down. Be aware. You got lots of little critters running around, and that's the last thing anybody wants to have happen, right?
Right. There's a couple things we tell them. Again, obviously, if you're driving, and sometimes people drive the cars and they drive into neighborhoods, or they watch your kids from their car, please be careful. There's kids running around. They're excited. Normally, we talk to people about the costumes, having some sort of reflection on it, carry flashlights. Especially if it's cold, and I'm not sure of the weather, but I don't think it's going to be too cold. Sometimes people will get a nice reflective costume, but they'll put a jacket over it, a dark jacket, and it's difficult to see them. I also remind them when they're backing out, like if they're backing from a driveway, because I seem to recall about a month ago there was some horrific story about a parent that backed over their own child, and that happens a couple times a year, unfortunately. And I told them, some people I was talking to earlier, that if you can, have a spotter out there, have someone out there. If you're going to do it any day of the year, do it on on Halloween to make sure that these children are safe. Because, again, that is certainly a tragedy that no one wants.
Absolutely. Sheriff Simmons dressing up for Halloween?
Yeah, I'm probably going as a cop this year.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. Good one. Current uniform?
Huh?
Current uniform?
Yeah, well, yeah, I might cowboy wear long sleeves and a cowboy hat. Why are you asking so many questions, man?
I don't know. It's just on my mind. It's Halloween, you know? Yeah, weird questions. Sheriff Chip Simmons, well, thank you for the time, as always. Thanks for keeping us safe, keeping our kids safe, and I appreciate it, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
7:55.
Oh, see? I'm happy pressing
buttons. I'm gonna get like one of those spanking sticks for you every time you want to touch that button. I don't know why. Teach your kids, teach your producer. John Pickens got traffic on the fives.
That's right. I-10 is a little slow down there on eastbound, right around the Highway 29 exit. Also experiencing some slowdowns if you're at the intersection of Highway 29 and 9 Mile. And if you're on Highway 29 headed southbound through Carr City, you're going to see some delays there also. Also, Highway 90 is not looking good at all right now. If you're coming from Pace to Pensacola, we've got a backup, just congestion of cars stacked up way down Highway 90. So just be aware of that. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hi, I'm Ron Helms, and I'm running to be your next county commissioner in District 4. I'm a long-term business owner, military veteran, and ordained clergy. As a fiscal conservative and Second Amendment supporter, I have a passion for public service with strong community engagement. As your next county commissioner, I will have a strong impact on crime and gun violence, affordable housing, and combating high insurance rates. I'm asking for your support and your vote on November 5th.
Paid for by Ron Helms, Democrat County Commission, District 4.
Point!
Hey, you okay? You don't normally miss those shots.
Ugh, I just haven't been as regular lately, and it's making me feel sluggish.
You should try Metamucil. It's been a game changer for me. Metamucil's plant-based psyllium fiber helps trap and remove the waste that weighs you down.
Ace!
You're moving better than you were last week.
Definitely.
Metamucil keeps you moving. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Learn more at Metamucil.com.
You depend on your vehicle.
Come on, start already.
And you need a good auto shop to depend on as well. That shop is A1 Auto and Diesel Repair, now open on North W Street. They guarantee the lowest rates in Pensacola, and they offer a 2-year national warranty on all of their work. Their certified mechanics have got you covered. No matter the problem, one call does it all. 850-285-0958. A1 Auto and Diesel Repair, 4414 North W Street, Pensacola.
Florida Senate candidate Don Gates will fight for us.
Because Florida is a free state and Florida is a low tax state. But for many people, Florida is also becoming an unaffordable state. In many markets, availability of housing has declined, while housing costs have increased a lot. The price of energy at the gas pump and the electric meter, it's a hardship for many families. And property insurance, if you can get it, is doubling, even tripling, even when homeowners and business owners don't have recent claims or any claims at all. I'm running for the Florida Senate because I'm ready to tackle those tough issues. For senior citizens, for small businesses, and for the folks who work every day to make our state exceptional, I'll fight for a free Florida, and a low-tax Florida, and an affordable Florida.
Paid by Don Gates, Republican for State Senate.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk, mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Teach you to throw away my comic books.
She's real fine, my 409. She's real fine, my 409, my 409.
Well, no, we don't get nearly enough Beach Boys in on the show. I mean, it's like once a year that I play a Beach Boys song. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, Vice President Kamala Harris has a big speech planned for today in Washington, D.C. An estimated 20,000 people, they say, are expected to be at the Ellipse near the White House to hear her closing argument to voters. FEMA says more than $60 million in aid has been approved after the devastating flooding in western North Carolina. Tens of thousands of residents there will be receiving aid. And actor Jay Johnston has been sentenced to a year in prison for the January 6th Capitol riot. He pleaded guilty to interfering with law enforcement. He was known for his roles in Bob's Burgers as Jimmy Pesto Sr. and in Arrested Development.
All right, David, thanks so much. Bands on the Beach tonight, last one of the year, Not Quite Fab, is going to be performing. And WSRE PBS, the Joyful Noise Gospel Celebration, a Foo Foo Fest event, noon to 5 on Saturday
Stream
night.
Stream us at News Radio.